The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 20 in our Revelation series. This message is called The Government and Power of the Beast. In our last study, we looked at the identity of the beast, and we read some scriptures out of Revelation 13, and we're going to read some of those scriptures again. Revelation chapter 13, starting at verse 1. This is what we read. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and the mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can make war against him?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. This beast, Apollyon, has 3 initiatives, 3 goals to accomplish. 1, he will promote humanism. In the name of tolerance and equality for all, the beast will promote this 666 mentality, humanism, in every society on earth. Secondly, the beast will kill Christians and Jews and any people who will not embrace humanism. Many groups have been killed throughout the centuries because of their faith in Christ. History tells of thousands of communities that were decimated and completely destroyed because of their faith in Christ. But this kind of attack and this level and intensity of persecution and murder against the saints will go to a whole new level when the Antichrist comes after them. Thirdly, the beast will make purchases of food and products conditional on conformity to humanism, to complete his plan and weed out those who have perhaps a quiet faith, a secret faith. The beast will make everybody pledge their allegiance to the spirit of humanism, or else they will not be able to buy or sell food. So only those who give open and unqualified allegiance to humanism will be able to buy and sell, to have food or property. One will have to be a citizen of the world. So Satan is using the beast, and the beast is using this means to root out all who are his enemies, the followers of Christ. The beast will accomplish his task through fallen angels, demons, and wicked people of influence on the earth. Revelation 13:1 says, he had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head, blasphemous names. Heads, horns, and crowns are spiritual rulers. The 7 heads are 7 kings. We read about this in Revelation 17, verse 9 to 13. It says this, the 7 heads are 7 kings. The beast who once was and now is not is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 and is going to his destruction. And then it talks about the horns. It says, the 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. So this is very clear. I have seen graphs and pictures of the book of Revelation. And I have seen funny-looking beasts with all these heads and horns. And I think, my goodness, how could they get that out of the book? If they read it, it says very clearly, the horns are kings and the heads are kings. They're like heads of state. That would be one way you could say it. The word horn in the Bible represents having authority or power. So Jesus has 7 horns. We read about that there before the throne of God was the lion from the tribe of Judah. And John says, I looked, and behold, there was a lamb, and he had 7 eyes and 7 horns. It doesn't mean that Jesus has 7 eyes on his head, nor does he have 7 horns coming out of his head, but he has 7 angels around him. It says they are the 7 spirits of God. They are angel kings. They are archangels. They are princes over principalities. And those 7 horns are with Jesus. Well, this Antichrist spirit also has 7 heads and 10 horns. When we studied about this dragon that came to destroy the woman's seed in that review of the first half of the book of Revelation, or the book or the Great Tribulation period, there in Revelation chapter 12, it says that the red dragon, that enormous red dragon, stood poised ready to destroy the man-child as soon as he was born. And it says, and that dragon had 10 horns and 7 heads. This is the power structure of the demonic forces on the face of the earth. They are depicted by these horns and heads, and they will come under the authority of the beast, because Satan gives the beast his power and his authority to do his nasty work, we could say. So that's why he now has the 10 horns and the 7 heads. And these governmental kings have one purpose, and that is to give their power and authority to the beast. Whatever Apollyon, the spirit who embodies humanism, wants them to do, they will follow in line. They will work for him. They will bring the spirit of humanism into the world. They're already at work. But once he comes, they will snap to attention with new strategies, anointing, and influence. And the whole world will rock with this demonic spirit of humanism. We know that the evil spirits in the world have been spreading the lies of humanism for countless generations. But their efforts have intensified greatly over the past century. In 1962, 1963, there was a rock group that came over from England to America, the Beatles. At that time, the Beatles said that they were more famous than Jesus Christ. However, most young people today would not be able to tell you the names of all of the members in the Beatle band. But Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they were part of a demonic thrust in the planet. What they did after they began their tours here in America, they went on a pursuit of spirituality. And the Beatles went to India. And they went there to meet with Hindu gurus and swamis. And they learned the ways of Hinduism. And they brought it back to America. The yoga, the transcendental meditation, all of the magical arts of the Hindu religion, which is nothing else but witchcraft. At first, those Hindu ways were rejected by the people of the West. They were just too spooky. So they made them seeker-friendly. They changed their original names to more kind, sweet kind of names. And now, all of these things are commonplace in our society. It is the spirit of humanism that is behind all of those magical arts and the witchcraft of Hinduism. If you talk with a Hindu, you will find that they are extremely humanistic in their philosophy, but with it is a mixture of spirituality that is nothing else but witchcraft. We cannot be sure of the horns and heads in terms of their specific roles, but I am going to give you some recommendations. We know that the 10 horns are demon kings, and the 7 heads are also demon kings. I'm going to suggest to you that the 10 horns are demon kings who have responsibility over a region of the earth. So, for example, let's take just some arbitrary regions of the earth and say, so that we can get this picture in our mind, that each of these regions have a demon over them. You know that there were demons over Babylon in the time of Daniel. That's why when Michael and Gabriel came down from the third heaven, the throne room of God, those 2 archangels, they met with some demon spirits who were called the king of Persia and the king of Tyre. They were demonic kings in middle heaven that with their armies fought against these other angelic armies, and they held back the message that was given from God to Daniel. They held it back for 21 days. Finally, the angels broke through and brought the message to Daniel and said, Daniel, the first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard in heaven and the answer was sent. Gabriel says, but I fought against these demonic kings in the heavenlies, over Persia, over that part of the world, which at that time was called Persia. And he was called the king of Persia, and also the king of Tyre, which is a seaport in Lebanon. So now you have a demon that was over the city of Tyre in Lebanon, who was working together with a demon king who ruled the demonic stronghold over Persia. And those 2 kings and their armies, they fought against the angels that were coming. So it makes sense after reading that there are regions of the world and cities of the world that have demons that rule over those cities. So let me give you 10 areas of the world. I don't know exactly what the areas will be, but I will make some suggestions to you. Let's say that one of these 10 horns, demon spirits, is in charge of the demonic activity in Central and South America. And another one is in charge of North America, the USA and Canada. And another demon king is over Europe. And another demon king, the fourth one, is over the countries that were part of the Soviet bloc, the Russian countries. And another one, another demon spirit, a demon king, one of these 10 horns, say, is over China and the surrounding Asian countries. And another demon king, one of these 10 horns, has responsibility for demon activity over the whole of Africa. And another one has responsibility for demon activity over the whole of the Arab world that cradles the Middle East. And perhaps there is one specifically assigned to Israel. Perhaps the ninth demon king might be over India and the surrounding nations that are just hovering around India. And then there could be one over Australia, New Zealand, and the islands of the sea. So that's just an arbitrary kind of picture. If we were to divide the planet up into 10 sections, and we could easily understand that Satan has released a demon king over these areas of the world. 10 different areas with 10 horns or demons ruling. Each of these 10 demonic creatures have a responsibility in the Great Tribulation, and that is to work with the beast to bring about the spirit of humanism in their region of the world. They will understand the languages of those people, the cultures of those people. They will adapt the spirit of humanism for people of that culture and that place and that area. You know, when the scripture says that all the world will worship the image of the beast, it's hard to think of the whole world worshiping one man. Perhaps it's not hard for you, but it's real hard for me. I can't imagine that people from China would worship somebody from the United States, or somebody from the United States would worship some person from Russia, or somebody from England would worship somebody from Africa, or somebody from one part of the world would worship somebody from the opposite part of the world who has a different culture and a different religion and a different background. But the whole world, amazingly, is already focused on this peaceful, so-called peaceful, anti-God spirit called humanism. So it's easy to see that these 10 kings will present through all of the layers of their demonic strength and government. They will portray humanism, man worshiping man, in a way that fits that culture and those people. Now, there are also 7 heads. And we have just read that the 7 heads are also 7 kings. And I will again suggest to you what kind of systems or areas of life that these 7 heads will have responsibility and authority. I believe that they
will be given responsibility over seven systems. And these seven systems are in every culture and every country. For example, every country and culture has a political system. So let's say that one of these heads, one of these seven heads, is in charge of the demonic influence, interference, and infiltration into the political systems of the world. They will work with the geographically placed demons. And there will be specific ones who work with the political. So let's look what seven different areas or systems are in every country. I'm just trying to give you an idea of how a government structure could work. So I suggest that one of these heads, demonic heads, will be responsible to bring humanism to the media and entertainment arena of the world. And you see it in the media, don't you? You see humanism on television, in the movies, everywhere you go. You're either seeing the witchcraft things, like The Force Be With You and Harry Potter, witchcraft for kids. And you also see the spirit of humanism. So you've got movies about the gay agenda and all kinds of anti-Bible, anti-biblical kind of emphasis, and how the world just receives those things as normal. That's all the spirit of humanism at work in your media. So the first place I would suggest where there will be a demon king called a head, one of the heads of this beast, will be involved with the media in all the nations of the world. Of course, he won't do it himself. He'll do it with all of his millions of demons. And then the second area will be the political arena, both local city councils and federal councils in the nations of the world. And then the third, I suggest, is the educational system, from kindergarten to university, including venues of scientific research and analysis. There will be the spirit of humanism that will be trying to infiltrate the educational system. So we have the media, the political arena, the educational system. The fourth area, I would suggest, is the medical system. In some places, a doctor cannot get his license unless he agrees to serve the people by performing an abortion. And nurses cannot get their certificate to be a nurse unless they agree to participate in some way in procuring an abortion. This is making it very difficult for those who are pro-life, for example. But that is a spirit of humanism in the medical system. So we have the media, the political arena, the educational system, the media, and then the judicial system, the Supreme Court, the judges of the land, local and Supreme Court, and even international courts. And then there is the military and law enforcement systems. Humanism is there. And lastly, the seventh area where I believe there will be a demonic head over a system of the world to work with the beast to bring humanism there is the religious front, because there is the ecumenical religious groups of the world. Even Christians who say we can be one with Buddhists and one with Hindus and one together with those who have New Age kind of religious activities. And they put all the people of faith together in one soup. And that is humanism. So in each of these systems, there will be a spiritual head Now, the power of the beast will flow down through these seven heads into all the systems of the world. It will flow down through these 10 horns into all the geographical areas of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3 says, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound was healed. As we have studied, the Christians and the Jews took over the political arena and ruled the world for about 1 year with a rod of iron. That, we could say, was one place where one of the heads had a fatal wound. In other words, Satan lost his grasp of the political arena, but it didn't last. The fatal wound was healed. The political system went back into the hands of demonic people once the Christians and the righteous Jews were killed and raised up into heaven. This beast will exercise authority for the last half of the tribulation period. For 42 months, the Bible says. And the devil will give the beast unequaled power. He will even have power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. There will be millions around the world who will die. It says he will be given authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. We read, if anyone's to go into captivity he will go. And if anyone is to be killed by the sword, with the sword he will be killed. And who refuses to worship his image will be killed. This calls for the patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. All the inhabitants of the earth at this time will be forced to worship the image of the beast. And those who don't will be attacked. Many Christians will die. However, some will not die. Satan is going to set up the image of the beast in the holy place, even in the temple in Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem, many of them will still be walking with God. But somehow, the forces of darkness will come in to this newly built temple. The temple, the Jewish temple, will be rebuilt in Jerusalem during the tribulation period or just before it. And in that place, this abomination will be set up. And the people, it'll be like where the image, and the scripture says that it will move and talk. And, well, John's describing a vision. He's describing something he sees. And you know, just look at your TV screen or a hologram. What kind of technology will be available? But there will be a promotion of this humanistic image. I don't know what kind of logo or symbol they will use, but they will put this up on the screens of the televisions, and it will be, you know, everywhere around the world. And it will also be set up, this image of humanism will be set up in the holy place in that temple. And we read about it in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, from the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up in the holy place, it will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of these days. And there's some other days added to it. And then in the book of Matthew, Jesus mentions this. He says, in Matthew 24, verse 15, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, he will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worship, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This is called the abomination that causes desolation. It's because of this man worshiping man and completely rejecting God that the seven bowls of wrath that bring desolation come. This is the abomination that causes desolation. Everybody who is not a Christian in the whole world is unified in the worship of humanism. It is witchcraft. Everybody will have that in their spirit and that mark in their mind. They will have that mindset, and they will have a mark even on their hands and on their foreheads. What their activity will involve humanism. That's the mark on their hands. And their thoughts and speech, that's the mark on their minds, will be the mark of humanism. It seems like things could not get darker. But in the very next chapter, the greatest revival of all of history will take place. We will come to that. We're going to see in the next chapter how the power of God will come upon the Christians and redeemed Jews who are still on the planet and what will happen because of them. Even in Satan's most vile time, the church will be victorious.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.